Perek HaKoel Shoichtin is dedicated Le'ilui Nishmas Eitan Ben Yisrael Zorach Zichroina Levrocha by Mr. and Mrs. Mordechai Krauss. May the Torah study learned in this shir be an everlasting schus for his neshama.
The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Avad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center. To download this series of shiurim, as well as hundreds of other recorded shiurim, articles, and video presentations, please visit thehalachacenter.org.
Gemara in Daf Tes discusses a very important principle. The Gemara says like this: Amar Rav Huna, Daf Tes now towards the bottom, Behemo b'chayel b'cheskes isra medes ad. An animal which is shechted has a cheskas issur. The animal is presumed with the halacha of chazaka to be in a state of not being mutar la'achila ad sheyedeh l'cha b'man nishchata, until it's clear beyond the shadow of a doubt that the animal was shechted properly. Nishchata b'cheskas heter emedes ad sheyedeh l'cha b'man nishchata. Once an animal is shechted, so obviously it already left its status as being a presumed osur la'achila, it now is presumed to be mutar ba'achila. Now it has a status as a kosher shechted animal. Now comes a different shayla. What happens if you find some reason to believe that the animal is a treifa? So there we assume, based on the halacha of roiv, since we will see later on the Gemara, roiv behemos einam treifos, there is midaraisa roiv that says that the animal is not a treifa. Therefore we could assume that the animal is not a treifa until the Metzius proves otherwise. So we have an animal which has in it two sveikas. When you shecht an animal, there's a shayla whether it was shechted properly. With all the different halachas that we are learning, and a musician will be learning, the different pratim of the shechita, the knife, the kavan of the shechit, the psula shechita, which can pass off the shechita at any point. And there's also the problem of whether the animal is a treifa, whether it's a sholem. If it's a treifa, the shechita is not matzeh l'achila, but because that's something which is not based on the status quo, so the chazaka based on the status quo says that the animal was not a geshachten animal until proven otherwise, whereas treifa, the burden of proof lies on the tzad of chumra to say that it is a treifa, because otherwise we have a roiv to justify achil of this animal, saying that the animal is not a treifa. Red behem is enim treifas. And in Yitz Hashem, with this Hagdama, we will be diving into the next three or four blats, some of the Iker, Sugis, and Shas of these two great institutions, which are found all over Shas, literally in every Masechta, over Shas, the halachas of Chazok and Roiv. And I'd like to, Be'ezus Hashem, spend some time discussing some basic principles and ideas behind these two yusaydis of halacha, roiv and chazaka. The basic idea behind both of them is one and the same. The Torah instituted certain halachas which are used to clear up suffik. There are many times that a person doesn't know the status of something. Can he eat it? Can he not? Can he marry the woman? Can he not? Is he Torah? Is he Tommy? There are many times where a person is besuffik. So, we know that there's a klal of Savak Deraisa L'chumra and Savak Deraisa Savak Derabonon L'kula. But even in Sveikas, there are many places in the Torah where there are specific halachas as to how to be misnayim. And the two classic halachas of how to be machriya, how to determine and decide l'fi one side of any Safik in matters of Mitzius, or matters of halacha, are Roiv and Chazok. The Gemara will, Mir Hashem, the next few daf yud aleph, learn out both of them from Pesukim. The Gemara learns out Chazaka from Bayis Hamanuga. Bayis Hamanuga is the Kohen who saw a nega on the wall of the house, and then he walks out of the house. Takes him, let's say, 2 minutes to get downstairs. He walks out of the house and he pronounces the house is tummy. Begs a basic question: how do we know that the house is still tummy? Maybe in the last 2 minutes the nega disappeared. So obviously we see from the Torah that the Torah relied on a distinction of chazaka, where if something has a status quo, we assume that until further notice, status quo stays as such, and that is enough to be machriya bevada that the house is tamei. The Gemara says roiv. The Gemara brings kol minei mekoyros that we go basa roiv. The classic amongst them is Achir Abin Lahatois, where the Torah tells us in Parshas Mishpatim that a Bezdin, which is undecided, there are two votes cast Chayiv and one vote Potter. There are 12 votes cast Chayiv and there are 11 votes for that say Potter. Even though there's a split jury, so to speak, still the halacha is that we're machri with the Roiv. We see over here that the Torah Paskin Shaila is based on Roiv, and the Gemara carries that over to many other areas of halacha. Now, in actuality, there are many different types of chazokas, and there are many types of roiv. And it would seem that since the Gemara doesn't bring different psukim for every different type of chazaka, the Gemara doesn't bring different psukim for every different type of roiv, that both types, all types of roiv and all types of chazaka would be based on the same basic concept. There's a concept of roiv, there's a concept of chazaka. I'd like to discuss first the different types of chazokas. As far as chazokas that we find all over Shas, there's the type of chazoka, which is commonly found, which is called a cheskas aguf. Any physical entity, the Torah says we could assume the status quo of that entity until proven otherwise. For example, a person sent a get to a different medina with a shliach. His wife is residing in a different country. He's locked up in jail in one country, and he wants to free his wife from the shackles of being an aguna. So he sends a get with a shliach to the other country. By the time the wife gets the get, who says he's still alive? The Gemara says he's beches. The Gemara in Gittin says he's becheskes chai ad shivada shumeis. He has the status quo that he's still alive. The physical mitzvah that he's alive remains uncontested until proven otherwise. There's a woman who's not a nida, who has a right, who's muteris labaila, because she has a cheskas tahara, even without checking whether she became tame, she has a right to assume that her physical status as a tahira stays intact until proven otherwise. Then there are types of chazokas, where there's a cheskas sholem. There are types of chazokas, however, that are not chazokas so much in the reality, in a physical reality, but there are chazokas in a din. A woman who is not married, and then there's some type of suffic kedushin, or a woman, on the other hand, who is married, and a get was given to her, or there's a suffic if a get was given to her, and it's not clear whether she's a mugureshes, or in the first case, it's not clear whether she's still a pnuyo. The halacha is that we say that a woman who is not married has a cheskas pnuyo, she has the status quo of a non-married woman, and a woman who was married has a status quo until proven otherwise of a married woman, even though that's not a physical reality that's being contested. The status quo is not a physical mitzius. It's not. There's nothing physical about being married or not married. There's a question of whether a certain din was created or not. That's called a cheskes hadin. That's the second type of chazaka. The cheskes haguf obviously has more power than the cheskes hadin, because the cheskes haguf is a physical reality. However, in halacha, even though there are places where poskim pit two chazokas against each other, and you always have to know which of the chazokas are stronger, but both chazokas are valid chazokas. They're learned out of the same pasuk, even though cheskes nega is not clear, is it a cheskes haguf or a cheskes hadin. The pashas, the cheskes haguf, is a physical mitzius of a nega. On the other hand, that mitzius is a supernatural mitzius, because a nega is l'mayla miderech hateva, so it's not clear does that have the full status of a cheskes haguf. The one of Suvas Avayne would seem to indicate that it is. Another example would be a mikveh. A person was tovel in a mikveh, and it's not clear if the mikveh still has the amount of aboim saw which are necessary for a kosher mikveh. It had yesterday. We say that the mikveh is kosher based on the status quo of chazaka. Whether that chazaka is a physical reality, that the amount of water stayed from yesterday, is not clear, because there's always a certain amount of evaporation in any body of water. So really, it could be what we're being machzik is the kosher status of the mikveh as still having a poem source. So maybe it's only a cheskes hadin. That is a question that's discussed in Shev Shmais as well as other akronim. Also based on the suvim ksuvim stuff, ayin hey, which we're not going to get into now. I'm just trying to point out the different types of chazokas. There's a totally third type of chazoka, which is a chazoka in das b'nei odom. Very often we have a sofik, and we don't know, we have a decision to make. Did something happen? Did something not happen? Did a person pay up a choyv? Did a person not pay up a choyv? A person, Reuven, owed Shimon money. Shimon comes to Bezin and says, Reuven owes money. Reuven said, I paid up 2 months ago. However, 2 months ago was Betel Chazman. What was written in the Shtar was that he wasn't going to pay until the 1st of January. He claims he paid the middle of November. In many cases, the Gemara says that there's no way that he could say paraiti. He's not never to say paraiti. Why? There's a basic status quo that a person does not pay a choiv toich zman. Again, it's not in all cases, but there's a basic status quo. There's a chazaka, there's a certain status quo in the way people are misnayeg, and we can make an assumption based on those type of things. For example, another example, a man marries a woman, and then the woman is found out between the Eris and the Nisuin to be a balas mum. She has some type of physical or emotional defect. He claims that he doesn't owe the money of a ksuba because it's a mekach tois. She claims he married me and you lived with me, or you married me and you accepted me, and you accepted me for who I am. The Gemara says that we assume that no, she's not married. Chazaka ain't other mispayas for women. But there are certain physical defects that a person does not make his peace with. He didn't know about them before, and therefore we cannot consider whether this woman is married to Sofik. We consider a vaday based on the status quo of Chazaka that she's not married. Obviously there's no status quo in terms of this is the way it was yesterday, so then that's the way it should be tomorrow. The status quo over here is a status quo, a basic how-to of what people do and what people don't do. But that also has the weight of a status quo in halacha to be called a chazaka. There's a fourth type of chazaka, and this relates to dine mamnis. It's called cheskes mamon and marakama. And again, it's not clear if the halacha, that the burden of proof always lies on the one who's being moitzi mamon, is that based on chazaka, or is that not based on chazaka? The ktsois would seem to indicate that it is. The ktsois understands that the halacha of cheskes mamon is a type of chazaka, powerful chazaka, where if somebody is holding on to something as owner, then we assume since he was the owner yesterday, then he's still the owner, even though somebody else laid claim to that item. Why that chazaka would be stronger even than a roiv, we're not going to get into now, but in Yitzhak Hashem we will discuss, because that will come up in our discussion of Ruba, the Chazaka Ruba Adith, Hashem, in a future share. However, the other poiskim say that this idea of Cheskes Momen, of the person who's holding on to the money, what we call in English possession is 9/10 to the law, that the person who's holding on to the money stays with the item, or stays with the amount of money in his pocket, until proven otherwise. The burden of proof lies on the person who wants to be Moitzi Mamon. Other places can say it's not based on Chazak at all. The Ktsois has a discussion in Siman Lamed Daled where he says that a Chazak of Cheskes Mamon can team up with another Chazak, which is totally physical by nature, to create a Tartilereis, a concept that we'll see in Mitzvah Shem and Daf Yud, where two Chazakis have more of a power to undo a chazaka which is connected, tarti lireyusa, two chazakas which lireyusa, which undermine the authority of another chazaka on the other side. And he says that a chazaka of moment and a regular chazaka, physical chazaka such as we've discussed, can team up. That's what the Ktsais is in Siman Lamed Daled. And the Sivan says, what does cheskes moment have to do with chazakas in the classic sense? And the Ktsais answers back in the Meshevev Nesivis, the Siman Lamed Daled, I don't know what the Nesivis' problem is. Kula Mireya Echo Nitnu, they were all given by one shepherd. All Chazakas were given by the same Rabbeinu Shlom. Meaning to say, he understands that Cheskes Momen is another form of status quo in the classic sense of a Cheskes Aguf, a Cheskes Adin, a Cheskes Bnei Adam, all these types of Chazakas that we are discussing. As we've said, there are Chilukim, the Moshe when there's a Cheskes Haguf against the Cheskes Hadin, many poskim say that the Cheskes Haguf is more yisoidistic, is more substantial, because the Cheskes Haguf substantiates the status quo of a physical sense, whereas the Cheskes Hadin is only a reality which is created by halacha. When there's a physical reality here, it's a stronger status quo than something like a Cheskes Nui, which is only based on a halachic status of a woman, or whatever the case may be. So, if it's two different halachas, we need two different psukim. So here we have Rashi and Daf Yud Aleph that tells us in Roiv that there are two types of Roiv, and the two types of Roiv have different halachas, and nevertheless both of them learn to have the same pasuk. Rashi discusses the concept of what's called Ruba de Issa Kamon and Ruba de Lesser Kamon. Ruba de Issa Kamon is a physical mitzius where there's a roiv in front of us. Meaning to say, Lamashim. Somebody got married to a woman in town. The person is a Kohen, and it's not clear. He married a mysterious, unknown woman in town, and then the woman died, or the woman ran away, and he has a child from this woman. He wants to know, or it could be the other way around, the woman had been married to a man, and she has a child, and the question is whether the child is kosher, l'kol or not. So we say that based on Roiv, if Roiv of the people, Roiv of the Jews in this town have a kosher status, so we could legitimately and safely undertake to say that the status of the child is kosher. If there are Roiv people in the town that are kosher, then there are Roiv chances that the child is kosher. The same goes for meat. A person finds a piece of meat in the street, the halacha is that we go bas a Roiv. This is what's called a Ruba de Issa Kamon. It's a physical Roiv which can be counted. Issa Kamon, it's in front of us. Ruba de Lesser Kamon is something more scientific by nature. It's something that says that in statistics at large show that roiv animals the world over are not treifers. We don't have in front of us. We don't have it's not based on a farm in front of us where there are 974 cows, 563 of which are kosher, and the remainder, 411, which are non-kosher. It's based on a reality which we know to be true the world over. It's a statistical matzias. If that's true, so then we pass it based on roiv. L'chaitz two separate halachas, and there are chilukim between the two, as we will see. And over there, Rashi says in Daf Yud Aleph that still both of them are learnt out of Achir Rabban Lahatois, which is the pasuk by that we discussed by Dayanim, that we pass them like the two Dayanim over one or the 12 over 11, even though that's a Ruba de Issa Kamon. That's not a statistical majority of the world over. It's not a scientific reality. It's a mitzius of a bezin that's in front of us. It's a Ruba de Issa Kamon. Still, we learn out Ruba de Lesser Kamon. Which roiv is stronger is a subject of much discussion. Each one has strengths and weaknesses. Now, there are those that want to say that a Ruba de Issa Kamon, where the nitunim, the subjects of a search, what the roiv is, and it's in front of us, in one place, let's say roiv meets in a town, is a simple statistical majority, in which case it's a concept that doesn't necessarily have to be learnt out from the Gersa Kosov. It's a concept that everybody understands, that a statistical search will say, go boss a roiv. However, this would seem not to be the case. We know there's halacha of Tesha Chanuyas, there's halacha, if a person finds meat in town, so he could assume that the meat came from the majority of stores, either kosher or non-kosher. If there are 9 stores in town that are kosher, and there's one store in town which is non-kosher, there's one Italian supermarket, and there are 9 kosher butcher stores. So then we assume that the meat came from the kosher butcher store. According to most poskim, this is true, interestingly enough, even if in the treifer store, in the one treifer supermarket, there's more meat than all 9 combined together. What happens if there's a huge treifer packing plant in town, and there are 9 little butcher stores, 9 little kosher butcher stores in a small town someplace? Actually, we would have to assume that most of the meat in the town, based on statistics, would be non-kosher meat. Still, the halacha is that we go by the Chanuyos. What we see from this is that the idea of even Ruba de Issa Kamon is not based on a statistical majority in front of us, but it's a halacha, it's a gzeis hakosav. That if there are, in the sofik, if there are 9 stodei hasofik, which are kosher, and there's 1 sad in the sofik, which is non-kosher, then the gzeis hakosav is the same way by dayanim. When there are 9 dayanim, there's 1 dayan. We look at the 9 as overpowering the 1. If there are 9 stodei hasofik, which are kosher, and 1 sad hasofik, which is straight, even if statistics would say that the meat is non-kosher, we look at the stodei hasofik, which are in the majority, and we pass them with the roiv. It's definitely not the same thing as statistical as a simple scientific statistic. Again, this is according to most Paiskim. There are a few Paiskim that rule the Chochem Sadin the whole matter way, but the halacha seems to be that this is the way we pass in Teshach Hanuyas, in which case it's not a statistical majority. I want to bring this out with a case in point. Some time ago there was a controversy it would seem that on some of the milk farms, they put staples into the animal's stomach, which renders some of the animals, what they do, they give shots with hormones to some of the animals for health reasons, that would render a significant percentage of the animals on any milk farm treifa. The halacha is that milk from a treifa animal is treifa. Yoytze min ha-tor, yoytze min ha-tomei-tomei, which is a subject that we'll learn about in Yetz Hashem, the third and fourth parak. But there were those that wanted to say that if that's true, let's assume at that point that there were 20% non-kosher cows. In Gemara's times it was less, but with medical intervention, there is a larger majority of treifa cows. Let's assume that the percentage was 20%. If you add up the percentage of milk that's being shipped out by a milk farm, it comes out that mixed in every container, one has to assume, is 4/5 kosher milk and 1/5 non-kosher milk. And we know that there's halacha that treifa milk or treifa anything for that matter only becomes bottle b'shishim, as we'll learn about in Yitz Hashem later on, the 8th perek and the 9th perek. I'm sorry, the 7th perek and the 8th perek. Why over here would it be mutter? Because there's a roiv, and the reason why we pass in always that you're allowed to drink milk, even though we know that there are some animals that are treifa, even though you can't check the animal while it's alive. They didn't have ultrasound machines in the times of the Gemara, it's only because of a roiv, that roiv animals are kosher. So why don't we say that you have to be mevatel the milk b'shishim? This was a controversy a few years back. The whole idea is based on a mistake. The roiv of roiv behind the same of treifas that we discuss in our sugyas is not based on a concept of statistical majority, as we're saying. That when you don't know the milk, whether it's kosher or not kosher, you could assume that it's kosher, if that's true. So we know there's a certain amount non-kosher. You can assume all you want, but if you know there's a certain amount non-kosher mixed together with the kosher, then the halacha is, that we consider it a taruvus of dvar masur midvar matar, you need bittul b'shisha. However, that's not the pshat. The pshat is that when we have a cow in front of us, if the roiv of the Torah, of roiv behem esenim treifus, says that this animal is not treif, so the Torah is telling us that we are allowed to drink the milk of this animal, we're not mechuyev to ask questions. Obviously, you can't cut the animal open and check if it's a treif and then milk it. Only a live animal gives milk. So while the animal is alive and we have no way of checking it, and even maybe theoretically if we could check it, we're not mechuyev to check it, we know that roiv animals are not treifos. Oy bazoy, we could assume that the animal that's giving us milk, the milk is allowed to be drunk. If the milk is allowed to be used, then it's kosher milk. Let's go to the next cow. We'll call the first one Bessie, the second one Larry. Go to Larry, the milk that comes out of him, sorry, there are no cows named Larry, forgive me, the next cow is named something else. The milk that comes out of the second cow is also assumed to be kosher. Why? Because we have a roiv that allows us to be soimich on the milk coming from this cow being kosher. And so on and so forth. Cow number three, cow number four, cow number five. Ad infinitum. If that's true, then all the milk is kosher. Why? Because all the milk has a lot of kosher. It's not kosher and non-kosher based together in the statistical theory, as per a statistical model, where we know there's a certain amount of kosher, a certain amount not kosher. So we have a taruvus of kosher and non-kosher mixed together. What we have is every single cow with a halacha of kosher. Again, this tells us that the halacha of, we just proved it by Achiram Lahatris, of Ruba the Issa Kamon, not being based on statistics, even when there's more non-kosher meat in the town than kosher meat, we still say that it's Stodei HaSafik is what's Machriya. The same is true by Aruba the Lesser Kamon. Aruba the Lesser Kamon is a, what would seem to be a statistical majority the world over, but we see that we don't use exactly the same halachas as statistical science. The halachas of roiv have nothing in common with the science of statistics, and everything in common with paskening a shaila on a specific suffix, which the Torah gave us a way to be machriya. We have a shaila on this cow. Can we drink the milk? Can we not? Yes. Let's move on to the next cow. Can we drink the milk from this cow? Yes. In which case, all the cows are producing kosher milk. Another valuable point I'd like to discuss in terms of roiv and chazokah is the concept. The Gemara tells us in many places that a roiv and a chazaka are limited in strength. Roiv and chazaka paskin for us yisurim. However, a roiv and a chazaka cannot be moitzi momen, and a roiv and chazaka, by definition, are not strong enough to be paskin dinei nefoshes. The Gemara says in a few different places. Will there would be serious, blatant serious to this idea. For example, there's Alocha Maka Ovid V'imoy Mois Yumas. And the Gemara asks the basic question, how do we know, the Gemara Dafid Alf learns out from this pasuk that we go Basil, how do we ever know that a child is his father's child? Maybe the child was born from a different man. And the Gemara says, since Roid Vila Sachar Abal, so when a woman is married to a man, we could assume that the father of this child is the alleged husband of this woman. In which case, that's only based on a Roif. But we see over here that a Roif is passing dinner in Froshes. And very often the Gemara says that a Roif cannot be made some moment and a Roif cannot pass dinner in Froshes. Gemara Sanhedrin, Gemara Bava Kamma. So what's the Kever? So the basic concept over here, where sometimes we have a suffix before Nenu. For example, we find meat on a busy street. By definition, we have a suffix. Meat on the street is a suffix. We find an Aveda. We don't know if it's Jewish-owned Aveda, if it's a Goyish Aveda. We find a bottle of wine. We don't know if it's Yayin Esek or not. In order to paskin any of these types of svekas, obviously we need to come on to the halachas of Kviyus svekas, of Roiv, of Chazokas, Koriv, other halachas that we have in the Torah. If we don't have any of these halachas, then we have to say Savdar Azul Chumas, Savdar Aban Lukul, etc. However, there are certain times where the Roiv preempts the suffix by saying that there is no mokum to be mistapik. When you have a child walking down the street and he's holding his father's hand, do we have a suffix if that's his father? Ah, but there's a roiv that says it's his father? Or since the Torah relies on roiv, the mokum suffix, that teaches us that if a child is walking down the street holding his father's hand, the roiv says there's no reason in the world, based on roiv, to doubt that the child is the father's in the first place. That's the pshat, that type of roiv. So again, there's a darga of roiv that paskins a suffix. There's a darga of roiv which says that there is no suffix in the first place. This is true of chazaka also. The Gemara says that chazaka cannot be used for dinei nefashos, and still the Gemara says in Kedushin Daf Pei that soiklum v'sorfin ala chazakas. The Gemara says that if there's a man living with a woman who's older than him. And the man is misnayig b'kovid, and he calls her mom. Everybody in the neighborhood sees this fellow is calling this woman mom and helping her schlep packages and acting the way a normal son would act with his mother. And then they're aiding that he was baal imoy. The halacha is we would kill him. Why? The Gemara says that there's a chazaka. It's established as a status quo that this is her son based on their behavior together with each other. Now, L'chayr Chazak is not strong enough to pass Kandid in the Fashion, but over here it's not a Sophic. What we see in front of our eyes is a reality of a mother, Eimu B'no. That reality doesn't leave us room for this topic. If there's no Sophic, then Memela we could give Din in the Fashion. There are many cases where this is not so clear. For example, let's say you had a child who was mixed up at birth. There was a town. Where the town was destroyed by war, and there were children who lost their parents, there were Yisoyimim, there were families that were mixed up, children were taken by other families, there was a child that was taken by a family. It would seem, based on a roiv of who was in the town at that time, the child was Jewish, but l'maisa there were a certain amount of non-Jewish children. So we pass him that he's Jewish, and it's not clear in the sugi in Ksuvis Daf Tezvav, 15 years later, 10 years later, if that child has money. If the child would lose money, would it be halacha v'ashav saveda or not? Could we assume that the child is Jewish, in which case all the responsibilities of Jews to him would be the same as any other yid? Or do we say that no? As per dinei momnis, there might still be svekas, and so on and so forth. There are cases where it's not clear the parameters of where we say that the roiv says that it's not a sofik in the first place, and where we say that the roiv is not where we say that the roiv is paskining on a suffix. What's an interesting case in point is a case of treifa. We're saying, and this is the whole basis of our sugya, that every treifa, the reason why every animal we could assume that the animal is kosher without making a detailed search of all the different internal organs of an animal, we could assume that the meat is kosher is because roiv behemis enim treifas. The Rishonim say, Rashi discusses it in a few places, and it's brought down l'halocha, that in a place where there's an existing suffix, even if there's a roiv that could pass in a suffix, if we have a way of being mavar, we're mechuyev to check. for example, checking for bugs in vegetables. Many vegetables, and Mr. Shem will learn more about this in the third parak, many vegetables are infested, but a roiv of that brand of vegetables are not infested. Do we have to check every single one of those? Strawberries would be that roiv strawberries are infested. Then you would have to check alpi din ter. But there are certain types of vegetables which alpi roiv are not infested. Do we have to check every vegetable, or could we be samech on a roiv? The Rabbanim is a chiv, it would seem, to not be samech on a roiv when we could check. So, do we check every animal for every treifa? Rashi says that we check for treifas harayos. There's a certain amount of animals that have in the lungs, in the lungs of Rashi. Could be that that every society is different. Like I said before, if there's a certain type of steroids or hormonal shots that were given to cows, that could create problems of treifas in the stomachs. But in Rashi's times, the roiv that was common, that was considered to be a sophic, b'fameinu, is a roiv in reis, a roiv of the holes in the lungs. In which case, Rashi says, v'lechatchila, we're mechuyiv, midrabanan, to check the lungs of an animal, and that's not going to mean every single animal, they check the lungs to see if there's a sircha in the lungs, which Mr. Shem will learn about in Perikei the treifis, what are the treifis in the lungs, what are not, but the lungs are checked. However, the internal organs, the for perforation in the membrane around the brain of the animal are not checked. Why? Because there's a very small amount of animals that have that problem. That's considered to be not a sophic. Why is it not a sophic? Because it's a roiv. But over there, the roiv says that it's not a sophic in the first place. If it's not a sophic in the first place, it doesn't have to be checked. Masha'en king, a roiv, which is only a sophic with a roiv paskening over there, if we have the ability to check, we are mechuyif to check. This is a basic and important concept in halacha l'maaseh. As we're saying, it's negeya which type of vegetables one is mechuyif to check. It's negeya the bedikos that are done in every shlachtos and every animal that's checked it. That's another aspect of roiv, which is negeya all over shas, as we said, of hoitzos mom and dinin and farshas. And it's negeya very much to the halachas befaneinu that we'll be discussing in Yitzh Hashem as the prokim unfold in front of us. Another halacha I'd like to discuss is in chazaka, the fact that a chazaka would not seem to be a halacha which is deciding the metzias. What I mean to say, if somebody was alive yesterday, is there any reason to assume scientifically that he's alive today? No. There's nothing scientific about being alive yesterday which is mechayev being alive today. It's a status quo, true. Masha Enkin, a roiv, is somewhat more, as we said, it's even if it's not the science of statistics, but somewhat more of a metzius that we can relate to, that if roiv of the metzius is that way, then that's taka the way it is. Like I'm saying, chazoka is not based on deciding what the metzius is, it's just based on saying that if the status quo, either in metzius or in din, was such and such yesterday, then that status quo remains the same today. And like we said, it's not only true in physical realities, like being alive, or not being missing, not having an illness, or a mikveh being full, or food not being spoiled, or any other physical reality which is creates halakhic nafkaminis, but it's also true in din, is a woman married, is a woman not married. So what would be if there's a chazaka where the metzias can't be true? For example, there's a famous halakha of Shnei Shvilim. There's a halacha where a person walked up two paths. On one of them we know for sure that there was a sheretz. And if he walked up both paths, he definitely was metamei himself to one of them. Meaning to say, if he walked down a path that had the sheretz, we assume that he stepped on it, the sheretz was lying full length across the path. He was not able to walk around it. Or, better said, there was a mess that was buried underneath the path, and if he walked down the path, he definitely was tamei. Two people come to Beis Din, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven says he walked down path A. Shimon says he walked down path B. Beis Din knows that one of them definitely is tamei. We don't know which one. There was a Beis HaKvaros in one of them. It was Nisal in which one. Beis Din will tell both of them that they are tohor. How can it be true? How could the Psat Din of Bezdin telling Reuben and Shimon that they're both Torah, and that's based on Chazaka, the Gemara says Reuben has a Cheskes Tara, Shimon has a Cheskes Tara, the Gemara calls it Shnei Shvuim, the Gemara says we pass them for both of them. Why? Each one has a status quo. It can't be true in reality. Teretz is, Chazaka is not a reality. Chazaka is a status quo. If this is the way it was yesterday, the Torah says that until proven otherwise, the status quo can still be accepted conclusively. It's a halacha, it's not a mitzvah, which can be proven in fact, but it's a chazaka, it's a status quo in halachic reality, even if it's not in physical reality. Another halacha, which would be true, is that the Ram in Kedushin, Dachei, says that where there's a shayla of Kedushin, the Gemara in Kedushin Dachei has a questionable type of Maisa Kedushin. This Maisa Kedushin was performed. The Ram says that since this is a Sufik, the woman who accepts this type of Kedushin is to be considered non-married. She can midaraisa get married to anybody else. Why she has a cheskes pnuya? Even though the chazaka could only pass in on her, and over here the shayla is not in her. The shayla is in the halacha and the gemara. The question is not a question of what happened, where did she go, whether she accepted kedushin, who is she, what is she. The question is a question of Rav Ashi, who wasn't pushed a baya in the gemara of whether that is a ma'aseh kedushin or not. And the Mishnah Lamelech says in such a case, Mipnei ha-chazoka lo nishtan adin, where the chazoka has to pass it on a halacha and the gemara, the chazoka cannot. However, the Ram says not that way, which tells us again the same idea, that a chazoka is not based on deciding conclusively either a physical or a halachic mitzius. The chazoka is a status quo. When a person or a thing or a mitzius or a situation has a chazoka, then we're not moitzi from chazoka, even though the reality of what the chazoka is saying doesn't necessarily have to be true. The same is true chazoka asuri l'shtanis. The Gemara has sveikis where it's not clear if a woman is a naira, if she's a ketana or she's a gedola, even though we know at any day in time she has a chazoka that she's going to remain a ketana forever. It's ridiculous. Every young girl becomes a young woman at some point. How could it be a status quo to say that for sure she's underage? And still the Gemara says that if a ketana was mekabel kedushin, and it's not clear if she was mekabel at the point that she was still a ketana, so suffic whether she was a ketana, that she has a cheskes penuya. She has a cheskes ketana. Aitza chazoka asuri lishtanis. We see again that a chazoka is not a physical reality which is decided for us, that is the mitzius in front of us, but a chazoka is a din. The Torah told us, when in doubt, keep to the status quo. This is halacha, and this will have many halacha ramifications as we go through the different sugas of Reuben and chazoka.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.